This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Thank you for coming. Welcome. So tonight, for the first slot, we'll discuss the last day of Chanukah, known as Zeis Chanukah. So tonight, we lit 7 candles. Mishnah, tomorrow night, we'll light 8. And that is the last night of Chanukah, known as Zeis Chanukah. Now, why is it called Zeis Chanukah? So, different reasons. The primary reason, of course, is that it's based on a pasuk. There's Kriyas HaTorah every single day of Chanukah. And the Kriyas HaTorah for the last day is from Parshas Nosoi. The last day is actually much longer. And the pasuk says, it says, Bayom HaShmini Nosi Livnei Menashe, Gamliel Ben Pedotzur. And then, Zeis Chanukas HaMizbeach. This is the Chanukas HaMizbeach. And it's like a borrowed term, Zeis Chanukah is known as. Because that is the laning of the last day, the 8th day of Chanukah. I want to discuss a couple of other reasons. One other reason I just heard from in the name of Shmuel Birnbaum. It's a very interesting thing. You know, Chanukah is a focus on Torah. It's the Yontif of Torah Shabbat Peh. And there's a lot of focus of Torah on Chanukah. But yet, in the yeshivas, the Limud HaTorah gets a bit of a hit. Because in the middle of afternoon Seder, at 5 o'clock or whatever time it is, everyone closes their Gemara. The boys go back to their dormitories. The younger light go back home and they light menorah, which is of course the correct thing to do. That's what halacha dictates. But in terms of limud haTorah, there's actually like a weakening of limud haTorah in the yeshiva world. That is all true apart from the last day, because tomorrow night all the boys will leave afternoon seder, if you like, in the middle of on the late afternoon of the 7th day. And they'll go home to light the 8th night. But on the 8th day of Chanukah, there's no disruption. And Zeis Chanukah. That's what they say. That's real Chanukah. There's no disruption to go home in the afternoon to light. That's what Shmuel Birnbaum would say, which if people knew him, would say that's very appropriate for him to say, because he was Kulei Torah. So that's just a short idea. But there's the main theme that I want to discuss, something that I heard from Rabbi Pinchas Roberts Zatzal. And he said the following. It's well known that the Greeks made decrees against three things. Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. And where is the source for that? The source is Megillas Antiochus. Now Megillas Antiochus, interestingly, is, as its name suggests, is a Megillah. It didn't make it into Tanakh. It's not one of the 24 Sfarim of Tanakh, because it's that much later. Chanukah happened after Purim. The Bais Rishon stood for 410 years, destroyed by the Babylonians. Then you've got the 70-year period in between, where the Purim story happens at the end. And then you have Bais Sheni, which is the Beit HaMikdash stood for 420 years, destroyed by the Romans. But the Chanukah story happens in Bais Sheni. So it happened, you know, a couple of hundred years, whatever it was, 200-300 years after the Purim story. And by then, the Tanakh had been closed, and this didn't make it into it. But there is a Megillah, sometimes known as Megillah Antiochus or Megillah Chashmonaim. Rabbi Saji Gaon says it was written by the sons of Matisyahu. And we have it. It's a short Megillah. But in there, if you take a look at the second box of the page, if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Let me read to you from Megillas Antiochus. Vayan Antiochus vayomer. Boyu v'na'ale aleihem. Let us fight against the Jewish people. Unavatal mehem habris ashekoras lehem elokeihem. And we will sever the covenant that they have created with their God. Shabbos, Rish Chodesh, Umila. Those are the three things we're going to attack. Vayigza bar gezeira gemura al Shabbos, Rish Chodesh, Umila. And they made decrees that Jewish people were not allowed to keep Shabbos, they couldn't keep Rosh Chodesh and practice Bris Mila. And then the Megillah carries on and tells terrible stories. Motsu ish asher mol benoi, they found a man who had given Bris Mila to his son. Vayoviu ha'ish v'ishte v'yislu oisom, and they hung the mother and the father. Keneget ha'yelet, nebuch. Bizman ha'hu, onru b'nei Yisrael eila le'ila. They were realized that Shabbos is under threat. So the Jewish people said to each other, let's keep Shabbos in a cave. We'll hide. We'll keep Shabbos privately in a cave. Pen Bagris. Bagris was like one of the commanders of Antiochus. And let's keep Shabbos, because if we do it publicly, then the word will get out that we're keeping Shabbos, and someone will inform this fellow. Vayanu bnei Yisrael vayomru eile le'eile zoichrim anachnu asher tziva Hashem al har Sinai sheish yom tavo et vosis kom lachtecha vim ha'shabbos tishpois atzo toiv lanu asher nomos b'ma'ara. Better that we die in a cave me'asher nechal es yom ha'shabbos than profane the Shabbos. And then they realized that the Jews weren't going about their normal practice on Shabbos. And the Greeks came. They brought wood. And they basically made a fire in the hole in the cave. And 1,000 or so men and women were killed in that way. So that's Megillas Antiochus. But what you see is that decrees were made against Shabbos, against Rosh Chodesh, and against Bris Milah. Now, why did they choose these three? So there's lots of Torah on this, but let me suggest you an idea which I think explains this, the concept of Zois Chanukah. The number 8 features very prominently in the concept of Chanukah. There are, of course, 8 days of Chanukah. We light 8 candles, one for each day. So the number 8 is prominent, and of course, the culmination of Chanukah, Zois Chanukah, is on the 8th day. Numbers are very significant. Each one represents a theme. So, for example, the number 6 represents Olam Hazeh, physicality. Solid items have 6 dimensions to it. So if you imagine you've got a siddur. So this siddur, imagine it has 6 sides. You've got the top and the bottom is 2 sides, and then this side, and this side. So a physical aspect has generally 6 sides to it. 6 is always physicality. Sheishes Yomim Tavo, the 6 days of the week, a physical world. 7 represents a physicality imbued with a spirituality. The classic example of that, of course, is Shabbos. You've got a physical world, you're eating nice food, you're dressing in nice clothes, so it's very physical, but it's imbued, it's enhanced with a ruchni, with a spirituality. 8 is lemala min hateva, is beyond this world totally. And that is what the Greeks vehemently fought against. The concept, we of course believe there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who runs the world, and that's a degree of transcendence. There's a concept of lemala min hateva, something which is just beyond the physical, what you see and what you can touch. The Greeks fought against that philosophy. They denied the possibility of lemala min hateva and the concept of anything which is supernatural. Therefore, the target of their decrees was to try and fight against that concept of lemala min hateva. Each one of the 3 items, Shabbos, Chodesh, and Milah, represent that. Shabbos, how so? Well, Shabbos, there was a thing recently in Edgware. There was a hairdresser, barber, who was a Jewish fellow. Maybe you saw the WhatsApps going around. Who for years and years, he was not a firm fellow. He never knew any better. And his barber shop was open in Edgware. As a result of October the 7th, he decided, they encouraged him, and he decided to keep Shabbos, which was big Mesiras Nefesh for him. That was his busiest day. People would come in, and it was a busy day. The rest of the week was perhaps less busy, but come Shabbos, people haven't got work, they would come in and get their haircuts. For him to close shop, it was difficult for him. It so happened that now the whole Jewish community frequents his shop, has never been busier, and business is booming, right? But if you take a fellow who doesn't understand Shabbos and the bracha and the beauty of Shabbos, and you tell him to shut the store, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you bracha, it's very hard to understand. How do you explain it? Speak to the accountant, do the month. It doesn't always work, but we know that there is bracha, of course, and we keep Shabbos regardless. But Shabbos, in a way, is lemala min hateva. It doesn't really make sense in terms of you try and talk to that Edgware barber, and he will struggle because it's lemala min hateva. You say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who runs the world, and you'll be okay, don't worry. But that's the concept of lemala min hateva. The idea of Mila is certainly lemala min hateva. First of all, you do it on day 8. It's B'yom HaShemini. And moreover, you're taking something which is, this is how the child was born, and you're changing it. You're making a shinui teteva. It's lemala min hateva. That's exactly the point. And then you've got Chodesh. Chodesh represents the fact that there is a supernatural power governing the solar system. And therefore, they wanted to target those 3 things, because each one represents, if you like, the philosophy of lemala min hateva. Yeah, sure. Physicality imbued with a spirituality.
And what was the example?
Shabbos. Because Shabbos is on the seventh day. Shabbos is on the seventh day. And therefore, what we do is we take physical things. We take, I don't know, nice drinks, nice food, nice clothes, which are physical. But we imbue it with a certain degree of kedusha. So you take the physical world 6 and you elevate it by 1 and you make it 7. 8 is lemalem natzeva. That means the concept of, for example, you're telling the storekeeper to close his store. That's already a concept of lemalem natzeva. But just Shabbos generally is physicality imbued with spirituality. That's the number 7. But the So the concept of lemalem natzeva is always 8. Yeah. So Shabbos has that as well. So that's what I'm saying. Shabbos has that as well. So they dafka attack those 3, Shabbos, Milah, Chodesh, because they represent the concept of lemalem natzeva. Now, therefore, when it comes to day 8, the number 8, we're saying Zois Chanukah. That's really what it's all about. This battle about number 8, that we understand 8 represents the concept of lemala minateva, that is exactly the point of battle. That's what they're trying to fight. So we say Zois Chanukah, that is really the essence of what Chanukah is all about. Now, that I think also connects to Parshas Miketz. In different ways. We'll do Parshas soon, but Miketz always falls around Chanukah time. It's normally Shabbos Chanukah or very thereabout. When Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim, it says V'chimesh es Mitzrayim, and he sort of prepares Mitzrayim. Pasha Pshat is that he prepares, there's a worldwide famine, and he prepares how to deal with the famine. But Chimesh, also he prepares in a way, sort of by Hashkocha Pratis, this is the beginning of Klal Yisrael's journey down to Mitzrayim, and ultimately the formation of Klal Yisrael. V'chimesh, he prepares, Chimesh is Rosh HaTevas, Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. He's preparing Klal Yisrael to live by this Lemalem and Hateva existence. That's really what V'chimesh is. Now, there's much more, because there's a very strange thing. Parshas Miketz ends in a very dramatic way. Right, we're familiar with the story. The problem with us is we're so familiar with the story, we forget the drama. And it's real drama. I remember back in the day when I was in school in Hasmonean, there was a boy, I remember it was my roommate in yeshiva afterwards, he was doing Shnai Mikra. So he was learning through the parasha on the week leading up to Shabbos, and it was Parshas Miketz. And I happened to notice that he was halfway through Vayigash, the next sefer. So I said to him, what are you doing? You know, Miketz is this Shabbos, you've gone too far. So he said, no, I just wanted to see what happened. Now that's the way to learn Chumash. He wanted to see what happened. He was so gripped by the story, you know, he wanted to see what happened. The story comes to a remarkable climax that they go backwards and forwards and they bring the food and Shimon is taken, and then they find the cup in of all people and then in Binyamin, and with the high drama at the very end of the parasha, that Binyamin, they find it in his bag and he's going to be the one who's being taken. That's their worst nightmare has become true. And what's going to be with Yaakov Avinu? And as it were, Lahavdel El Havdolos, the sort of the credits go down and the curtain goes down, and tune in next week to see the next installment. What is Pshat? Vayigash Elav Yehuda is a week later in our lives, but it happened, you know, very soon afterwards. So why did Chazal, when they split up the parashas, why did they split it in this way? They're not vying for good attendance in shul next Shabbos. It's not a serial that you need to end on a cliffhanger. So I once heard from Rabbi Zev Lef a very beautiful Pshat. The Chofetz Chaim said that in two words, in next week's parasha, in Parshas Vayigash, Yosef HaTzadik comes along and he has that emotional, remarkable high point where he just says, he discloses that he is Yosef, and in two words, Ani Yosef, everything becomes clear. This viceroy, who they thought was this cruel tormentor, taking Binyamin and handling with him backwards and forwards, he just says, Ani Yosef, the penny drops, everything becomes clear. Says the Chofetz Chaim, when Moshiach will come, all the crazy confusion we have in the world, especially that we live in today, he'll just say Ani Moshiach or something similar, and it will all fit in. How and what, we'll have to wait to see how it unfolds. But that's really the point. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal the end of days, he'll just say Ani Hashem, I'm Hashem, or similar, whatever it will be. That's all that will be necessary. Now, sometimes to understand the bigger questions in life, you need to wait a week for that Ani Yosef moment for next Shabbos. Sometimes you wait a month, sometimes a year, sometimes a lifetime, and sometimes until the next lifetime. But the point is, there is a rationale. There is a Ribbono Shel'olam who's running the world, and that concept that there's a Ribbono Shel'olam running the world is merely a manifestation of Lamal Minateva. And Teva just means that, you know, the Greeks believed in a concept that unless you can research it and see it in a laboratory, it doesn't exist. Well, we know there's something called transcendence. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's running the world. That's Lamal Minateva. That concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world is really the message of the gap, if you like, between Parshas Miketz and Vayigash. And that's really the message of Chanukah. As much as we live in this world, we have to understand there's a concept of Lamal Minateva, and this is felt not just on Chanukah, but all year round. So Zos Chanukah is the climax of Chanukah, different ideas what it's about, either from the Parsha, Zos Chanukah Samizbech, the 8th day laning the Kriyas HaTorah on the last day of Chanukah, or like Rav Shmuel Birnbaum says, that the last day, this is really Chanukah, when you're properly learning, you don't have to break afternoon Seder. And the last idea of the concept of Lamal Minateva, Zos Chanukah, the 8th, the last point, this is the battle zone of the concept, the manifestation of Lamal Minateva.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.